So this is first day, second part of the seminar on book distribution.
Expectations which you have and expectations which we have. Everybody's expectations, yes. What else?
Ice cream,
yes. You almost heard about ice cream, but we parked it. It's already melted, it's in your car. By the way, we apologize, there was not enough rice for your lunch. I hope you're not feeling hungry. But, you know, we'll do better. Yeah, we'll deal with the ice cream topic later, exactly. You can try to make up for that. Any other topics which we spoke about this morning? What do you remember? You can leave the door open.
Good character and honesty.
Good character and honesty, yes. Okay, these are all different principles and values.
Why devotees want his distribute books?
Yes. Discussion. Not only why do you want to distribute, why do I want to distribute?
Yes,
what's our personal reason why we distribute books? Okay. This afternoon we'll have two sessions. One is called The Character of an Idealist and Representative, where we will examine in detail what is a representative of ISKCON. And the fourth topic today will be about appreciating Prabhupada's books and also how to implement all of what we've learned. Every fourth lesson of the day is a practical workshop session. How to implement what we've heard in the first three lessons will be implemented in the fourth lesson. So, the topic of this lesson is, what is an ideal ISKCON representative? Now, in order to study that, we have to first understand what is ISKCON. Now, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West in 1965, he incorporated ISKCON in New York. How many of you know the seven purposes of ISKCON? That's one person.
Distributing books.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. Don't you think it's important to know what is ISKCON? Because people might ask you on the street, well, what's your movement? What are you guys all about? And you can tell them, well, we have temples, we have farms, we do this, we do that. But Prabhupada wrote down seven purposes of ISKCON. Now, I know they're in your student handbooks, which you should close right now. No cheating. You should learn these by heart. It's very important. It's imperative for us to know why Prabhupada incorporated this song. Because these are the whys. These are Prabhupada's whys. Why he did what he did. And why ISKCON is the way it is. We may try to give so many of our own reasons and explanations, but we like to hear from Prabhupada why he did what he did. So when Prabhupada registered ISKCON as a legal entity in New York in 1966, he gave the following seven purposes as its aims. Aims are the goals. These are the things he wants to achieve. And because our purpose as devotees and as Prabhupada Lugas, we're followers of Srila Prabhupada and of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we want to understand what's Prabhupada's move, what's his mission, what's his aim. Because as a disciple or as a grand disciple, we can only become perfected and we can only become happy and pleased in Krishna consciousness if we satisfy the previous acharyas. Otherwise, there is no way to make spiritual advancement. And it is also one of our expectations, how to please the Guru. Now, how do we please the Guru? Well, we have to ask the Guru, what can I do to please you? And because it is Kali Yuga and people are short-lived, less intelligent, and unfortunate, therefore Prabhupada has made it very clear what is it that pleases him, and what is ISKCON meant to achieve. So in these seven purposes, Srila Prabhupada has outlined basically our mission statement. Everybody knows what a mission statement is? Can somebody explain in brief what a mission statement is? Yes?
I mean, the basic
then why your mission is there?
In French we call it raison d'être. It's your sense of being, why you exist. So a mission statement means your purpose of existence. What is it that you are and why you are the way you are? So in fact, this is our Siddhanta. This is our, what do you call it? Paribhasika Sutra? Yeah? This is, or in music they call it the baseline, right?
It's our theme.
Yes, our theme. This is what it all boils down to. And if we don't understand this, and if we're not in synchrony with these seven principles, then we've lost it. Then we're going nowhere. We're out in the jungle. And that's not a good thing to be, because there's a lot of animals who are ready to eat us. So, somebody can read for us, please?
To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world.
Now, thank you. I'd like to ask you a question. Is this purpose related, or is this purpose served by book distribution? And instead of nodding, we'd like to hear, like the cows in the Goshala do, you know, if it's related a little bit, you can go, if it's related a lot, you can go, So, is this related to book distribution? Very good. Okay. Next one. Somebody from this side of the audience, please.
Propagate our consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in
Bhagavad Gita
and
Srimad
Bhagavatam.
Is this related to book distribution? Yes. Very good.
To bring members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, Prime Minister. Thus developing the idea within members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna.
Is this related to book distribution? Satisfied through book distribution? No ice cream, but at least we have misty dough. It's something, it's a start, right? It's not nothing, it's definitely something. Okay, next one.
To erect for the members and the society at large, the holy graces of pastors dedicated to the personality of Krishna.
Is this purpose served by book distribution? Number six.
To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simple, more natural way of life.
Okay, and number seven.
With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, books, and other writings.
Very good. Serious cows here. Okay. Dive. So, in reading these seven purposes, we can see how book distribution is directly fulfilling the seven purposes of ISKCON. By distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, we're directly following his instructions of building holy places, getting together, leading a more simple life by preaching Krishna consciousness. All these things are achieved through the purpose of book distribution. Now I'd like to read a quote by Srila Prabhupada. Where he says, by disseminating our Krishna conscious propaganda anywhere and everywhere, by selling books, by making publicity in newspapers and on television, there are so many ways to spread Krishna conscious information. And you may know it that by utilizing our energy in this way to give everyone access to the absolute truth, that is the real understanding of the desire to serve humanity. Understanding is one thing, and the practical application of that understanding is another. But being engaged as devotees of Krishna is the practical work of spreading Krishna consciousness, is already the highest realization. That's all right. That is our real mission, to deliver the world by preaching Krishna's message to others. But an even higher realization, the highest realization, is to save oneself. Because if we don't save ourselves, we cannot save anybody else. That is why we have heard this morning in the principles and values that unless you have good sadhana, unless you study these books, unless you live a healthy and wholesome and Krishna conscious life, you cannot benefit others. If you yourself are not strong, if you're not healthy, you cannot not make other people healthy and strong. That is why we're here in the Dham, hearing and chanting and studying about Krishna consciousness and devising different methods and different schemes on how to distribute Krishna consciousness. That is actually what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Srila Prabhupada said, all the members, all the preachers of this movement should get together in Srimayapur and discuss how to distribute Krishna consciousness far and wide. So we're trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction in doing so. So we should not be bewildered and think, oh, I'm taking time off my real service. I should be distributing books. Why am I taking time off my service to learn about this? Just a couple of days ago, I talked to a devotee who is a doctor. He's an anesthetist. You know what an anesthetist is? They're the people who make you pass out. They make sure you pass out nicely and you come back nicely when they have operations. Because the doctors who do the operation, the surgeons, they're very busy in there, you know, doing the mechanics. So somebody needs to check whether this person is stable, whether it's got all the fluids and everything is running properly. So I asked him, just out of curiosity, when you are, he works in a hospital with 1,000 beds. It's called Washington State Hospital. It's in Washington, D.C. It's one of the biggest hospitals in the U.S., probably in the world. I asked him, now when you do your job, how much time do you spend on teaching medical students? And how much time do you just spend on doing your job? And he said that every patient who comes in the hospital is a case study. On every patient which gets operated and treated, there are medical students who learn. He says sometimes it delays the process. You could get faster ahead and treat more patients or a little more efficiently. But he said they're having medical students from 5 different colleges from around, from the DC area, who are going there for getting their practical training. And unless we do so, we will not have enough medical doctors and our system will fail. So each and every study, each and every person they treat is a case which gets studied by students, which means you might be there on the operation theater and they're doing their thing and there are some students who are there who are learning on how to do the job properly. So that's why in this course we will see how different devotees are distributing. You will also do some demonstrations and we will analyze. We'll try to understand very clearly what works and what doesn't work. Because unless we develop this quality of examination and of self-examination, we cannot advance. If we don't know where we are, we're not going to get anywhere. You understand this point? It's a very important point. If we don't know where we are standing right now, right here, even though we may have a goal, but we will have no way of ascertaining whether we're making progress towards that goal. Because we have nothing to measure it with. So, later on we're going to fill out mission statements, short-term plan, long-term plan, We're going to speak about how we're going to implement all of what we've learned, but that will come in the next couple of days. Right now, we're focusing on the topic of what is an ideal ISKCON representative. Now, we've heard this morning about the concept of lifetime book distribution. And this concept has been brought up a few times, and we hear about it a few times. And sometimes the devotees get bewildered. And they think, but nobody's doing it, you know? So how is it possible? Everybody does book distribution for a couple of years, and then they do something else. So that means it's not working. That means it's not possible. But that's because we do not understand what does it mean, a lifetime of book distribution. A lifetime of book distribution doesn't mean necessarily that you're out there on the street every day of the year for the rest of your life. But the lifetime of book distribution means once you're a book distributor, you're always a book distributor. It means once you're a preacher, you're always a preacher. You might do different services. You might do different activities along the way through your progression in Christian consciousness. But the preaching spirit, the preaching attitude, the preaching mood will always stay with you. And you might be later on, you might be a pujari, a manager, you might become a leader in the movement, but at heart, you always a book distributor. And that's the wonderful thing. Because here you learn attitudes and skills which are of intrinsic value and benefit to you in your Krishna conscious life. If you examine our leaders in Krishna consciousness, who are now the gurus, sannyasis, GBCs, temple presidents, senior devotees, practically each and every one of them have been book distributors at one point in their life. And if you interview them on an individual basis, which I have done because it was my job to do so, you ask them, what is the most blissful, what is the most ecstatic, what is the most intense experience you had in your Krishna consciousness? All, without a fail, will tell you, it is when I was a book distributor. And what I'm doing right now, I'm trying to please Prabhupada, but sometimes I'm not so sure whether I'm really doing so, whether I'm really getting anywhere. So in their heart, they're all hankering. They all have the service and separation. But because somebody has to manage the society and somebody has to look after all these other activities, they're doing so. But we have the fortunate situation that we can just absorb ourselves fully in this activity. Now, what does it mean to be an ideal ISKCON representative and to dedicate our lives to this preaching mission? Anybody's got any idea? Any questions, comments? Yes.
Yeah. My understanding is that this Sankirtan moves, no?
Yes.
It's to be there whatever we do. And sometimes people ask me how you raise your children or how you maintain your family and like that. I want to also learn because I want to get my degree. And I say that for me to be able to do this, I have to pray Krishna, and I am thinking exactly like the devotee who goes out to read the books. I am every day praying, Krishna, please help me. How can I do this nicely? How can I please you? How can I be engaged in giving the mercy and to become a means to transmit Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Even if it's my own children, my own family, it doesn't matter, but the mood is there, that means. And that makes things work. Yes. Otherwise, as soon as I'm not in that mood, then test comes. And this I learned when I was newly working from our group at the time. He taught us this mentality. And although I was a pujari, I was every day praying to Krishna so that the devotees of Sankirtan and me give a lot of books. And when our service can be the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So whatever we do to be
Yes. Very nice point. Thank you for that. Have you all heard? You got that point? On preaching, on book distribution, Maharaji was saying that she learns how to dedicate herself to the mission of Guru and Krishna And this spirit of surrender, this spirit of giving up and surrendering to Krishna is what you learn on Bhakti Sivusha. Because as long as we're holding on to doing our own little thing, it becomes very painful. It becomes quite impossible to actually make a difference. I mean, we've all tried. We've tried front, left, right, and center. And at one point, it just becomes too painful. It becomes too obvious that we cannot do it. Krishna just smashes us till we give up. We throw our hands in the air. We cry, "Hey, Krishna! Hey, Govinda! Please!" And if the mind is still thinking, "Yeah, I'm surrendering a little bit, but not very the result," then still it will not happen. But if we actually throw ourselves into the fire of Sankirtan, then Krishna can empower us. And as she was saying, that this spirit will help us, whether we're raising children, whether we're doing other activities or other services, it's the same spirit, it's the same mood. So let's see what Srila Prabhupada is telling us about this.
Here, everyone is engaged to rise early in the morning for offering aratri to the deity. They are preparing nice food, they are decorating, making garland. So many engagements. They are going for some ritual party, they are canvassing for selling wood. 24 hours and then, therefore they are able to give up the sinful life.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So, now we're going to have some discussion about form and substance. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can open the curtains, you can also turn on the fans if you need, or put on the lights when it's getting dark. So, we're having a small discussion about form and substance. Are you aware of these concepts? No. Form, like any activity we do has a certain form. There's a certain ritualistic aspect to what we do, even in Krishna consciousness. Like our sadhana, or the pancharatrika way of how we do things. That's the form. And the substance, that's the meaning, that's the content, that's the why, that's the reason behind it. Now, many times, when we do things, we become very much absorbed in the form. Because the form is something you can learn easily, and you can get very absorbed in the form. It's like when we're doing sadhana bhakti, we get up and we take shower, we take bath, and we dress ourselves in clean clothes, and we go to the temple, and we do everything according to the rules and regulations. But sometimes it happens that we forget, why are we doing this? We think that the rules and regulations in and of themselves are actually the goal. Has that ever happened to any of you? Or we just do it mechanically. It just becomes a routine. And we don't even question, but we don't also see really what is the use. So sometimes we might do it whimsically, sometimes we might do it fanatically. But the substance, the content, is what is the reason behind it? Why are we doing this? So as preachers of this Krishna consciousness movement, we have to ask ourselves on a daily basis, why am I doing what I am doing? Because the point is, if we don't know why we're doing what we're doing, we'll not be very convincing. A person who doesn't know why they're doing what they're doing is not very convincing. Have you ever went to a establishment, to a shop, to a restaurant, to a hotel, or to an institution, where the people who were meant to give you service or information
We're not very convinced, we're not very knowledgeable, and we're not very helpful or friendly. Have you had that experience? It does happen. And how did that make you feel? Like you go to a shop, you know, and there is a lady who sits there on her mobile phone and she's talking to her sweetheart, you know. And the last thing in her mind is the customer, is you, right? She's just, you know, she knows, I'm getting paid, you know, €5 an hour or $5 an hour or 5 rupees an hour, whatever. So whether you sell or not sell is not of her interest, right? So she's just talking to her friend about, you know, God knows what. And you're there and you're, hello, I'm here. I want to buy some of your things. Can you tell me what you got here in the store? And she's like, you know, it's okay. I'm talking here to my friend, you know. You just quit, right? How does that make you feel? You're shaking your head. How does it make you feel?
Irritated.
Irritated, yes. You want to go take that cell phone and, you know, you stomp it. You want to slap her. You're going to say, what is this? Where is your manager? Or you say, hey, I'm the customer. I got money here. I want to buy something. Have you ever went to a shop where they didn't know what they were selling? And they couldn't care less? Has it ever happened to you? They're talking. You know that they're talking. You say in English, they're talking out of their ass. I mean, it's not a nice expression, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're just saying something, right? For the sake of saying something. But we're not impressed, because if you're a discerning customer, then you know what you're looking for. You know what you want to buy. And if you see that the salesperson doesn't know what they're talking about, it makes you very irritated. You become angry. You become upset. And then you just go somewhere else. So we have to learn from these common mistakes which we observe in other people who are in the service industry, and we have to conclude on our own sankirtan and preaching efforts. What is it that people are looking for? What is it that people are trying to get at? The number one factor why people are not buying the books is a lack of trust. It's like, why are you sitting here? Some of you came out of your own interest. Some of you came because you got nothing better to do. Some of you came because you heard it's good prasadam. Some of you came because I dragged you here. Some of you still don't know why am I sitting here. Never mind. But I got to know why I'm here and why I'm teaching this course. And you also got to know why you're sitting here, why you're listening to me. Because if we don't have a mutual trust, then what happens? There is a breakdown in relationship. And when a breakdown in relationship is there, nothing positive can come. If you approach a person on the street, and that person, within the first few seconds, you're not able to establish a certain level of trust, at any given point, the person can just drop the book and walk off. It happens every day. But if you're able to convey, to extend yourself to that person, to give them the benefit of the doubt that, my dear sir, my dear lady, you are special. And they feel valued. They feel appreciated. They feel taken seriously. Then what happens? The person is hooked onto you. They feel obliged. They feel like, no, I don't want to say no to this person, because this person has treated me properly, right? This person has given me some affection. This person has given me some interest. This person has cared about me. So if you care about me, I will also care about you. But if you don't care about me, why should I care about you? That's why we say, love me, love my dog. You can't walk up to a couple and you just put your back towards the woman and try to sell a book to the man. Have you ever tried it? And what was the result? Was it very good? Have you ever tried to sell a book to the man or to the woman and put your back towards the other person? You've never tried it. You always talk to them together. Okay? Because you know how it works. Now we'll talk more about these intrinsic details, how things work. But the point here is trust. If we don't trust each other, there's no relationship. And there's three things. Communication, cooperation, love and trust. Love and trust comes at the end. In the beginning is communication. You have to talk to the people. You have to ask them questions, and you have to listen to their answers. And you have to show interest in what they're saying. Even though you couldn't care less where they're from, what job they're working, how their dog is doing, what they ate for breakfast, where they're gonna go, what they're gonna buy in the store. What do I care? Whether they're gonna buy a pair of jeans or, you know, or some ice cream. But the funny thing is, if you show interest, and not just fake interest, but if you're actually interested in what the person has to say, what happens? All of a sudden, the person actually takes interest in what you're saying. Have you ever noticed that in your own preaching? As soon as you show interest in them, they show interest in you. If you're blasé, which means if you can't care less about them, all of a sudden they don't care at all about you. So, communication means talk to the people, ask them questions. Tomorrow we'll get into this. Today is the preparatory day. This is setting the scene. Today is first and second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Just, you know, establishing the basics. Tomorrow we get into the action, into the dynamics, into the exchange. But today we have to understand why and who and where, and the how we'll discuss tomorrow. So, communication. If communication is there, then there is cooperation. If you actually communicate with people and you speak to them in a nice way, in an exemplary way, then there is cooperation. They will agree to cooperate with you. Oh yes, of course, sure, I can take this book. Yeah, I can give you a donation. Yeah, sure. And then comes love and trust. But in the beginning, some initial trust might be there. But that trust has to be enough that at the end, they will actually give you some money. Because money is dearer than money. We'll discuss about money later on. But just, if they value their money more than they value you, or they value the book, then they will not give you any of their money. Because they say, ah, what you're saying is nice, but this is nicer. I want to keep this. I'm not going to give you any of this. But if they feel that your friendship and your trust is more important to them than this money, then they're easily to give up their money, to get something better. Because if I tell you, we have a wonderful feast here, but you also have the option of walking over to the big kitchen and eating some yellow food, then you say, no, 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 it's okay. I'll stay here and go with a nice feast. Right? Because you can always give up something lesser for something better. But if you're not convinced about whether that actually is something better, then you're not going to go for it. So the point before that I'm trying to make is about form and substance. It comes all the time in our Krishna consciousness. Form and substance. Because many times we confuse things. We think that by following the form very nicely, automatically the substance has to be there. And then we are very bewildered. I've seen devotees who are very sincere, very strict in their sadhana, but they sometimes lack a little bit the finesse, the affinity to get into the nuances, the fine things. And they're like, I've been doing this for many, many years, but where is my taste? I don't. It's not really there. I'm just doing, doing, doing. I'm running, running, running. But where is the bliss? Have you ever experienced this? Has anybody ever had this experience? Or am I just talking here to myself? I've experienced this. I'm experiencing this every day of my life. I'm following the process, but a lot of times I have to ask myself, am I doing this just out of habit, just out of ritual? Or am I doing this to actually please Krishna? Bowing down my head, mumbling some mantras, which I don't even internalize or feel about. When I'm in front of Krishna, what do I see? What do I think? What do I pray? Do I feel and think and pray anything? Or do I just think, wow, nice colors, nice flowers? Have you ever examined your heart? Were you seeing the deities? Form and substance. Try to analyze. We have to become introspective. If we're not introspective in Krishna consciousness, it will be very hard for us to actually make tangible progress. Because we will not be able to see where we are. We'll always be bewildered. I will always make the wrong choices. I will always mistake form to be substance. We'll always see things backwards. Any questions on this topic?
Practical application. We can try to recognize the form, we can try to recognize the substance. Sometimes we may be too attached to external ritual performance of our duties and activities. But how does this apply practically to our lives? How we can make tangible progress in devotional service and our activities by recognizing the difference between form and substance?
By seeing that the form serves the substance, not the other way around. Prabhupada told Harikesh, you gotta go and preach. He sent him to Russia. Harikesh said, what? There's nothing to eat there. He said, then eat meat if you have to, but you have to preach. Now, of course, we're not gonna eat meat, but Prabhupada made the point very clearly that the goal is to preach. Now, in order to preach, sometimes we may do certain things which ordinarily we would not do. You may dress in a different way, you may speak in a different way, you may act in a different way. You may be a lady, you may approach men, you may be a man, you may approach ladies to give them books and to distribute to them. This is something which usually you don't do in a Vaishnav culture traditional setting. But for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness, it might be necessary. Now, do we become all worked up and all disturbed by that? Or can we understand that this is for the sake of the substance? That is very important. Otherwise, we cannot be functional. Otherwise, we're stereotyped. We become stereotyped Vaishnavas. And we can't rubber stamp a Vaishnava or a preacher. It is something of the heart. Just like if you're a doctor, or you're a person, a teacher, or you're a mother or a father, it is not that you tell your kids, you have to behave in this or that way, otherwise I will not deal with you. That doesn't work. You have to deal with them the way things come. You just have to reciprocate and win them over by your love and by your expertise. So we cannot influence the field so much. We have to see what is my circle of influence. Sometimes we think, oh, we should change the world, or we should change our temple, or we should change our sankirtan method. But let's start with ourselves. I know that my circle of influence is right here. This is the only thing I can really influence and work on. And that is what we're trying to do here in this seminar. To really go deep and focus on character development. Because, let's face it, the main reasons why devotees stop distributing books, number one reason, they cannot face to have that mirror in front of themselves. Because Krishna puts the mirror right in front of you every day when you go out of the ship. What? This is me? I don't accept this. No. This can't be true. It must be some mistake, you know? It's not. You're faced with your own reality, with your own shortcomings, with your own desires, with your own conditioning when you go out preaching. Now you can see this either as a blessing or you can see it as a curse. You can either be very happy. I'm very happy because every day I see where I'm at. Nobody gives you the straight talk nowadays. You know that if you give people advice, everybody hates you. And if you ask people for advice, everybody loves you, right? So, if I'm asking you, then, oh, this is a nice person, you know, he asked me for so many things like that. But if I'm giving you advice, oh, you know, he finds so many faults, he's criticizing everybody, if you're giving everybody your opinion, like that. But Krishna is so kind that he gives us this information on a daily basis of who we are, what we do wrong, what we do right. Super Soul Paramatma is there, and he's giving us this information on a daily basis. And that's one of the wonderful things which I experience in Sankirtan. that Krishna is taking personal care to ensure my own safety and my own spiritual progress. What's the number two reason why people give up Sankirtan? Because we're talking about lifetime book distribution. That's the topic, like, for now. Number two reason is you cannot deal with rejection. People say no, and something inside goes, ah, ah, ah. Oh, I say no, ah, ah, it hurts. Have you ever experienced that? And it hurts, you know? It hurts in the heart, it hurts in the stomach, it hurts in the bones. It's kind of like your subtle body goes, ah. You know, you cringe. It's like somebody puts, you know, a knife somewhere. But why? Why? Because we identify ourselves as the doers. We think, I'm in control, I'm in charge here, I'm running this show. You have to surrender to my program. That's why it hurts. But if we see ourselves as the servants, we shouldn't be surprised if somebody says no. We should be surprised if somebody said yes. They're in the material world because they want to forget Krishna. They want to enjoy their senses. So for people to say no is very natural. To say yes is actually quite extraordinary. So don't be disappointed. See it in a positive way, in a positive spirit. You know, the less you expect, the less you become disappointed. I've had some major disappointments in my life. I've come to the conclusion that I do not expect anything from anybody. And that has made me very happy, very content. Why? Because you cannot disappoint me. That's a very good realization, which every preacher, which every book distributor should, you know, have. Otherwise, if people can disappoint you, they will disappoint you. Believe it or not, they will. And they will smash you. And they will do anything to hurt you. But if you're in the mood, hey, so what? You know, bring it on. You just take it as fun, you know, it's like entertainment. Then it's gonna work out nicely. Yes.
I wonder if there are those whose
primary
desire that people take those books. Say we shouldn't expect anything from anybody, but we expect the God and the students to the books because we want people to have that knowledge. So how do we go?
We hope, we wish that they take the books. But whether they take or not doesn't lie in our hands. You are not the person who determines whether this person takes the book or not. You can only endeavor, you can only try. But the person who actually determines whether they take it or not, it's Krishna. It's the super soul. Super soul says yes or no. Sometimes you have people, they run down the street and they shake their head and say no, no, no. And then we stop them, we give them a book, and they run back and they say yes, yes, yes. Now who has made that? Not us. Super soul. Krishna just told them, you have to take it. Now you should have the desire that everybody should take the book. But whether they actually take it or not, ultimately, is not up to you. That's Bhagavad Gita. That's basic, straight Bhagavad Gita. Action in inaction, inaction in action.
But how is it that you see some devotees that are doing so many books, always, and you see other devotees who are endeavoring as well?
There's different factors. There's so many different factors. Why some devotees do more books, why some devotees do less books. And I don't want to get into more surrendered, less surrendered, because there's many factors there. It depends on capacity, it depends on effort, it depends on sincerity, it's time and place and circumstances, a whole given range of factors which play together. So you can't just simplify it to a nutshell. No, but Paramatma is the final verdict. It's the person who either says case dismissed or up or down. That's not us. That's a super soul. Sometimes the person is interested, likes you, likes the book, has money, is ready to pay. And in that moment, the wallet is open, the bill is out, and all of a sudden, oh no. Has it ever happened to you? And you go like, damn! It's not possible! This is not fair! Cannot be! Stop it here! You know? Like they do in the movies, you know? God! Hey! Come on, back here. Let's do this again. I cannot accept this. I put all this effort this is such a nice person, and all of a sudden he says no. This is unfair. Why? Krishna is teaching you that you are not the doer. You are just the instrument. And sometimes he shows it to you in a very humorous, in a very tricky way. Where the money's already there and your hand reaches out to get it and goes back. Oh no, I'm sorry. Why not? And I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. What does that mean, it doesn't feel right? Super soul in the heart has told them, it's okay, not this time, you know, it's alright. Now, you might argue, what is this? You want to tell me that the Lord in the heart tells him not to take this book? Yes, that's exactly what I want to tell you. But then, somebody in your fight might argue, but that's unfair. I'm working hard like a dog here, going out, putting in my effort, my blood, sweat, and tears to give these books to people. And Krishna, who is supposed to be my ally, is working against me. If he doesn't like what I'm doing, why doesn't he go out himself and distribute his own books? Right? It's unfair. But Krishna is more concerned about you and about your spiritual advancement than that this person gets the book. Don't worry, this person will get the book. But maybe not from you, maybe from somebody else. But Krishna is a kind Lord. He sees what we need to advance in our own lives. Sometimes people, they need a devotee and they don't buy the book. Then they walk 100 meters. They need another devotee. They buy the book. It has happened. Has it happened to you? So many times. Then you ask them, but you spoke to such and such just there. Oh no, that was something else. That wasn't these books. That was something completely different. You understand the point? Because that person was in a different consciousness. That person was in a different mood altogether. So even though same books, same movement, same thing, not the same. Because form and substance. It all depends on your mood. And sometimes you're able to step back a bit and readjust your consciousness. Like we said, you know, like in a movie. You just cut it and you go back a couple of frames and you say, okay, let's start this from the beginning again. And then you go through nicely. But inside, you make sure you don't make the same mistakes. Because consciousness creates reality. If you want to take notes and write something down, write this down. Because we call it mantra. Make mantra, make meaning. This is one of our mantras. Consciousness creates reality. If you think, I am useless, then what happens? You become useless. If you think that this person has no money, what happens? Have you ever thought that this person has no money? And then what happens? I left my wallet at the office. I'm really sorry, this never happens to me. Has that ever happened to you? In that moment where you were thinking this person doesn't have no money, in that moment the person said, oh, I'm sorry, I got no money. How can he think like that? Because consciousness creates reality. When you're on Sankirtan, you're like a surgeon. You're right in there, in that person's consciousness. There's a very strong connection. So that brings great responsibility. If you're a surgeon, and you're working with your scalpel, you have to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you'll be a bloody mess. You can't be, you know, thinking about other things, or on drugs, or whatever not. You have to be very focused on your job. That is why it's so important that we chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And not just 16 rounds in the morning or japa, but you can chant in between people. You can chant in your mind. And in this way, your consciousness will always be aligned with the divine energy. And there will be no distorting frequencies. And you can actually very nicely guide this person in this progressive exchange. So, the point was lifetime book distribution. What stops us from being a lifetime book distributor? Now, in the coming days, we describe so many obstacles, so many challenges, external as well as internal. But today, we're discussing the character of an ideal ISKCON representative and We have already spoken about a couple of topics, form and substance, preaching for life, preaching in any situation, in any circumstance. And I'd like to ask you whether there are any questions. Yes?
I have a question. Yeah. You say that the less you respect, the less you become disappointed. But as a book distributor, you have to respect that Krishna will help us, isn't
that? There's a difference between expectation and between knowing. We know that Krishna will help us. Why? Because Krishna has said so. Not even himself. He said, Kaunteya pratijani nina me bhakta pranashati. He said, Arjuna, you declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. Why? Because Krishna sometimes is a little tricky. He's a cunning fellow. So he says, okay, some people might say, you know, that we don't take his word so seriously. So he tells Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. Because Krishna may change his word. He may change his opinion. He's God. He's free to do whatever he pleases. But when a devotee declares something, Krishna will uphold it. He will make it come true. So, there's a difference between expecting and knowing. We know what the Shastra says and what Guru says. So we don't have to expect, because it's already a fact. It's already a given. It's an axiomatic truth. But we have to be well versed in Shastra, and we have to know what Krishna says and how Krishna works. Otherwise, we'll always be doubtful. Yes?
My Guru says that these expectations are based on false pride.
Yeah.
So when we go, okay, this guy's, Krishna, he's going to give me that donation now. He's like, no. The false pride's got to go away.
We'll take it back.
Because we think we're a player.
But you can tell Krishna what's up.
And because we think we are a player and we're able to manipulate people and material energy, so then the other people reciprocate. And they also want to play us. And at the end, Maya plays everybody. And at the end, you are the ball, and Maya is the batter. She plays hardball. So, you know, she's whacking you all over the place. And you're always a step behind. You're never in control. You never really see how the game works. Or as they say in poker, if you don't know who is the sucker at the table, it's you. So if you don't know how the game is being played, then you're the one who's losing it. So as long as we think I'm a player, I'm skillful, I'm powerful, I've got it all under control, I've got it all figured out, Maya will send you people who will crush your pride. Believe it or not, it happens. Even to the best of us.
Definitely.
And you think you may be very powerful, but Maya will send you somebody who is a proper match for you. And then you can go and have some fun with that person. I have tried it. Very hard. I fought battles. I argued. I fought physically. Yeah. When you're young and stupid, you do so many things. You'd be surprised. And it's just, it becomes very disturbing. Becomes very annoying. But we're stubborn. We want to go through the wall. And we say, no, we have to do this in this way. So Krishna forces us. No, you have to be humble. You know, it's like when a big wave comes. You have to just dive. And then the wave goes right above you, right? What did the Aussies say when the waves come?
If you're foreigners, you tell them to dive.
Huh?
To the foreigners, you tell them to dive.
Yeah. And if you're skillful, you can ride it. But when so many waves are coming, you just have to be humble. You know, you just go straight through. If it's just a little wave, you know, you just jump up. It just splashes in the chest. But a lot of times, you think, oh no, we're very powerful, we're very strong, and we expose ourselves, and then the wave comes, and we get hammered. What do you call that? When you get into the...
Dumped.
Huh?
Dumped.
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 Dumped, yeah. You get dumped. And it's like a washing machine, you know? Picks you up, puts you down, and grinds you in the sand. Anybody has that experience? Yes. Yeah, not just that. And that's exactly how you feel. When you expose yourself to the material energy, and you get dumped. So, What's the difference, please?
Just suppose you got the good donation for a book, and the next person takes about 10-15 minutes of your time, shows interest. In the end, he's not interested in giving a donation or anything. So my tendency is to let him have a book anyway, because I got a good donation.
Because you're a nice guy.
And because I invested my time, so I assume that that be worth something instead of not giving him anything at the end of the day. Is that the proper understanding or not?
Depends. There is no rights or wrongs. It's all individual. Sometimes you have a person and you feel this person is really sincere, and this person is really nice, and they might genuinely not have any money, and you might just want to give them a small book or something. That is all right. If you feel like, but by their sincerity, by their time, and their interest, they have paid the price to value this book properly. And another person may have given more. Then you give them a book.
Yeah, I may have a doubt.
But then sometimes it's just our own conditioning of trying to be a nice guy. And we just, I don't want him to be disappointed. I don't want that person to feel like I'm just in it for the money or this or that. So on our own, you know, on the pretext of being a nice guy, we just give it away like that. So then you have to see, you have to analyze very carefully. What is the act? If it happens again and again and again and again, then there is some pattern there. So you see that you have some difficulty there. So you have to analyze it. It's not that because it happens once, that's now the case scenario. But if it happens every third or fifth or tenth person, and then you're giving the book for free, then you might have to change a little something in your presentation. Like sometimes, that comes to money, but just to make the point, sometimes we don't specify clearly, we don't have clear expectations, and we don't make it clear to the person that they will actually have to pay something.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they're very surprised. What, money? What, money? What are you talking about? Money? You know? And then, if you didn't mention anything about money, and just at the end, after 15 minutes of discussion, you bring up money, and they don't want to give money, then it's your fault. Then you might have to just, you know, let them have it, because it's my fault. Sometimes I've given books to people, and I saw, in retrospect, that my presentation was not really proper, and I just had to let him go with the book because I kind of given it as a gift. It's the worst thing you can do, you know? Somebody's walking away and you ask him in his back, you know, hey, by the way, can you give a donation? That's like really, you know. If you've missed the opportunity, the window of opportunity has come, but it has passed, then you have to just let it go.
Be a good loser.
Be a good loser, exactly. Don't, come on, back here, give it back, you know? So it depends on our presentation. But a lot of times devotees are scared to say what is their expectation.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't mention this. Oh, I can't say this. I can't say money. I can't say Krishna. I can't say this. I can't say that. And then you're always trying to tiptoe around, you know, in the minefield. Oh, you know, it's like... And how can you be happy like that? How can you naturally have an exchange with people if constantly you have to try to play all your little games? It's not very inspiring. It's not very enthusiastic. Other topics here?
In India, people, most of the people are poor. They are very interested in taking the books, and it happens every time. I don't know, that's where I feel.
It's about money. We'll talk about money, okay? Any other questions related to lifetime of book distribution, ideal character of an ISKCON representative, form and substance, expectations? Okay, I do expect you to be back here at 10 to 5 for the last lesson of today. Thank you for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If somebody could fill up the water jugs, which are empty, there it is.
Now the second part of the first day, the second part of the day.
Okay, anybody? We're going to start last session of today. Please take your seats. So, the topic of this class is appreciating Srila Prabhupada's books. Because the more we value Srila Prabhupada's books, the more we'll be able to transmit, yes, or convey our appreciation to the other people. If we don't have it, we can't give it to others. If we have great appreciation, we can give that appreciation to others. So before we start on the last lesson of today, I'd like our new student to please stand up, say his name, where he's from, and what he's expecting to learn from this course.
My name is Udayananda Das. I am Sankirtan Bhushkar Department.
He's at the Sankirtan book table here in the Mayapur temple, Radhamadhava temple. Yes. What's your expectation? Why are you here?
I expect I should more and more spend for the books.
You want to increase, yes.
Yeah, now I am in the top 10 position in Mayapur and the 99th around the world. So I should more and more book to be one of the family best book resources. This is my aim.
Okay, thank you. And also, we have another, our youngest student here, please.
My name is Kumar Vinchamanda Das.
From?
From Mayapur.
Yes. Why you're here?
And I'd like to get some taste for the position.
Okay, good. Develop taste. Alright, so, we got exactly 1 hour and 8 minutes. And the topic is appreciating Srila Prabhupada's books. So I'd like to introduce to you Veda Vyas Prabhu from Canada, who's a dear friend of mine. And I told you this morning that we'll call upon some experts to come in and give you a bit more broad and flavorful experience of this course. So he has been distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for how many years? 28 years. And he's been very expert in distributing many sets Prabhupada's books, in also making many new devotees, and in training them in the Bhakti program, and in training them up in Sankirtan. So he has great taste. So I'd like him to lead this class, the major portion of this class, and then I'll do the roundup at the end. So, Veda Vyas Prabhu, please.
First of all, I'd like to thank Navinani Radharani for specifically his friendship toward me. He's been very kind to me since I'm in Mayapur. I'm on a journey also. I've been here for almost 6 months now in India. And in Vrindavan, I spent Kartik with people like Vaisheshika Prabhu and Jayadwita Swami and Damodar Maharaj and Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And we spent, about 4 hours of this studying Prabhupada's books together.
Every day.
Four hours, every day. So we spent 2 sessions, we were reading one full chapter of Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on. So, and I came to Mayapur and I was studying, every day I was reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita with Navina Narada Prabhu and sometimes Vasudev Prabhu was with us. And just the last couple of days, I've been with Vrigupati and Chandrasekhar Prabhu, and we've been reading Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 hours. So I thought, this is very interesting. The biggest book distributors in the world are relishing Srila Prabhupada's books. So what we're going to do, we're going to spend the next hour just focusing on this. So Navina Prabhu asked a few minutes ago if you can bring a book. Did you all bring a book with you? Just raise your hand. Whoa, okay.
Who doesn't have a book? Who needs a book?
So come forward.
One, two, three, four. five, six, seven, eight.
Okay.
All right, we got four books here.
Okay, take this with you. Can you get a few more? Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, first come, first serve.
Can you get a few more books from my class?
So the next 20 minutes, it will be this room.
On the five bottom terms.
The next 20 minutes, here. The next 20 minutes, it will be a complete silence. Everybody will choose any part of the book, and you just read on your own, okay? And there'll be complete silence. So what you do is you can make notes if you like, or you can find a passage that you really like. But whatever you do, you're going to be asked to speak for between 1 and 2 minutes after the reading, okay? So it's as simple as that. So you're going to speak for 1 minute. I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just gave some prasanna to a dog. Like that, whatever it is. Okay? Or summarization from the Gita, you know, like that. So what we'll do now is we're going to spend just this time. Actually, by the way, the room is very, very, very concentrated. When everybody is reading about Krishna, the atmosphere already manifests in a very, very nice spirit. So I'm not in your way, but so what we'll do is I'm going to ask one per table, because maybe not, we won't have enough time for everybody. I'll try to get everybody in. And then after, by the time it's 1 minute, I'm just going to say 1 minute. And then you can just take a few seconds to finish your last point, and then we're going to move to the next person. So just to give you an idea of what it's like, I'm going to just start with something happened to me. I just picked up the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, and I read the chapter 13 where it described the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it just happened to be the time of Gaur Purnima, so it was quite nice. So the beginning just described basically how his parents, who was his parents, Jagannath Mishra, and so on. And it happens that Mother Sachi had 8 children. And these 8 children, they were all ladies, and all the daughters died right after birth. And after this, Vishwarup was born, the 9th. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the 10th. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth, actually everybody was inundated with love of God right from the start. And I was just reading one purport where Prabhupada himself is questioning, like, if love of God was spread all over the free world, it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was only in Navadvipa at the beginning. So how is that? And in the same purport, Prabhupada answered that question, that everything is set into motion from Sri Navadvipa. And because everything is set into motion, this is in including the entire universe. Now the entire universe will chant Hare Krishna, and the proof of that is now the Western world and all the continents already have the holy name, and it's going to spread more and more in every town and village. So that's how Prabhupada described in the proof that I was reading. That's 1 minute. Okay, so what we'll do is that I'm just going to choose one person for a table. So this is the morning who's like to volunteer, just raise your hand. If not, I will volunteer. Thank you, Mohan.
So I was reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sattva Guru Bhagavan.
Please first, speak to the class.
Yes, Hare Krishna. So I was reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sattva Guru Part 1, first chapter, and verse number 2. And it relates to how Vidura came in contact with Maitreya Rishi. And the purport I read is so sweet. And it describes, Sri Prabhupada explains, and wonders, in one sense, why Sri Vidura left the Pandava's palace. Because actually, Arjuna's house is so nice that it is compared to Vrindavan. And there is no difference, Sri Prabhupada says, between Arjuna's house and Vrindavan. And therefore,
Actually, Sukadev Goswami received a question from Maharaj Parikshit to inquire why actually Vidura left Arjuna's place, Arjuna's palace. And then the answer is that actually Vidura left the palace for higher purpose, in order to actually have a super ecstatic conversation, in one sense, with Maitreya Rishi, which will actually take place during all the such Kanto of Bhagavad. This question is on a higher topic of spiritual realization.
John, you got 3 seconds now.
Volunteer?
So I picked up the Kanto. Rishabdev's teachings to the sons. And the first verse, Rishabdev talks about Prabhupada says in the purport that human life means voluntary practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life, and we should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness, to go back to God. So basically, in the first four verses that I read, Rishabdev is explaining that, you know, animals eat, mate, defend, and sleep. Humans, they shouldn't just do these four things, but they should go for a spiritual advancement. And how do we do that? By practicing austerity and penance, and therefore we can practice devotional service.
Pleasure, and then this is transcendental, where it's just, you know,
whatever you do in the mode of goodness or passion. If you do for Krishna, then this is just the
thank you. Thank you very much. Very well. Go ahead.
I was reading from the fourth canto, that it makes somebody. I could find something which is important for the book distribution. It's not, since we are in Prabhupada's world, in society, Prabhupada's society, it's not only serving him. The spiritual advancement and the service of Srila Prabhupada should go hand in hand. Yeah, and here, Sati quits her body for another material body. Because she thinks that she has got her body from that body from her father, but we all got bodies. Srila Prabhupada gave us this body, we found it, so we don't have to quit it. We have to try to save it as much as possible and serve Srila Prabhupada and also work for our spiritual advancement. And it's not only service.
Thank you. You don't need to applaud. It's all right. Okay, one of the three here, volunteer. You have your finger up, go ahead.
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11, 2.4. This is a complete Sankirtan movement with the Harinam. It says a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service to Krishna, who chants his holy name becomes transcendentally attached to the champion, that his heart becomes open without extraneous endeavor. When this happens, he exhibits transcendental ecstasies and sometimes laughs, sometimes cries, sings and dances, not exactly in an artistic way, but just like a madman. And so the first, the material attachment is conquered by love, but this is called Baba, which also means that Krishna, the person, the devotee knows that Krishna's person and name are identical. So chanting the holy name makes one attain the stage of love of Godhead. This is the ultimate human necessity. And unless we accomplish this eternal relationship, we will be lost in the sense of gratification. This is thinking that that is our maximum.
Good show, that was 1 minute now. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was reading the sixth canto. It's about Ajamiva. How it is an answer to the question of Maharaja Parikshit, how to be free from falling down into hellish existence. So it is explained first how he married a prostitute and then he became degraded, and in Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada speaks about how degrading is his sex. Then after that, here he explains about how he got a child when he was 88, and in the Prabhupada Prabhupada speaks about how actually a man should live family life at 55 at most. And then he said about how also he was repeating the name of Narayana, and then Yamaruta and Vishnu's boat came to arrest him.
Okay. That's it. Thank you very much. What would you like to know here? Okay.
So I was reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, and I was just, you know, so much pleased by, like always when I reached the Prabhupada books. Now, I mean, in the first chapter that I was reading, I was relishing how Srila Prabhupada is so precise. And he's talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the Lord himself, that is coming for a purpose, and his guides are invoking. And then he said, and this is coming from a spiritual master succession, you know? And he gives the name from this devotee, etc., etc. So the point I want to make about this is that in the book of Srila Prabhupada, you don't find fuzzy things. Everything is complete, everything is clear, everything is precise. There is no concussion in it. And Srila Prabhupada said in his famous purport that he said, every word is is for the good of the human society everywhere, every single one.
Okay.
Then this is good news.
Thank you. All right, so we'll go for one more round. One up here. Okay, we'll be very attentive because his English is never. Do you want to try? Okay. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. So I had the good fortune to be reading from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the same thing we're studying in the class, in the Bhagavatam class here in the temple. So I thought it would be nice thing to read, to kind of get kind of be in the same mood with the class. So I did an overview, I skimmed the chapter, I read the same chapter, chapter 28. Which is Lord Kapiladev's instructions to Devahuti. So there are 44 shlokas in this chapter. So I just did an overview of the whole chapter. And then I went back to the beginning and I analyzed the different aspects of the chapter. So the first is the yoga system. And he said the object of yoga is to concentrate the mind. And also when we practice the yoga, we become joyful. And also we advance on the path of the Absolute. And he said some things we should do and some things we shouldn't do. So what should we do? We should eat less. We should do our prescribed duties. We should be satisfied. We should worship a spiritual master. And most of all, manmana bhava mad bhakto, we should meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
1 minute.
And is he finished?
Yes. Okay. It's actually 115 seconds. Okay. Go ahead. No, just stay where you are. Right where you are, where you are. But face more where the current is because you'll be facing.
As we read second text, chapter 1 and verse 1, where Parikpananda asks the following questions for Sukhada Goswami. And Sukhada Goswami is glorifying the question of Parikpananda Maharaj. So, you see, the swan is asking some questions to the father. The wife has some questions to the husband. But they don't know what questions should be asked to. So that the same question, they can elevate them to the spiritual tendency. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse, Janno Karma Chamaya Divyam. If any question or any topics related to Krishna, that elevates us to higher consciousness and higher practice. So, this Krishna Matha is so powerful, Prabhupada, particularly is even more important than this Krishna Matha, that Mother Ganges, it purifies only two, where the land, wherever it goes, the person who takes back. But Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, so glorious, it purifies the four, the place where it is discussed, the person who asks, the audience who hear, and the speaker who speaks. So, this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the wonderful faculties of Krishna. So, our main thing is to distinguish this Krishna Gita. Now, Krishna is nothing but different from the Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Chaitanya.
We ask number one. We focus on each person, give more attention. Each person, who is the next person? Okay, go ahead. When you read also, you have to read the furthest person away. Like this gentleman there, you have to reach him by your voice.
Yes. I am reading Madhya Lila 20th chapter, text 142, explaining about gopis' separation from Lord Krishna, and they are being devoured by the Tirimala fish. And then they are trying to be very for the Tirimala fish separation. But they are not being delivered from the other body because they are already related to the serving Lord Krishna. And they are not in the body itself. Here, Sri Prabhupada has given this purpose meticulously, very strong. He says that when we are engaged in devotional service, there is the goal for liberation is open, but we never want to have liberation, we want to always have service to the Lord, that is our constitution.
Here we see that Prabhupada says that the demons
in order to keep their promise and to show their equilibrium and to save themselves from fighting with the woman, they remained silent. When Moni Moti gave the drug to her from them, they did not distribute to the neck them. And in a word for word, we see that it is written, Tritasmea, why in fact the demons act like that? Because of having developed attachment to Moini Moti, which is very, very important point. And this makes the Prabhupada's book completely unique.
Very important. Hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
And nowhere else we can find such books where we have so much nectar, so much details, and given the Prabhupada's tradition, you know, we can understand when we completed those books how Prabhupada gave us so much. So much. That's why he gave the word forward, and that's why we are supposed to read it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so.
We're going to go for one more turn, but just let you know, the intensity of those people who are reading when they're speaking, can you feel it? Can you feel the intensity? It's very important, because now the message has to come across. So this is going on. This is book distribution right now. We're right in the middle of the battlefield, and the book distribution is going on. What happened is people who read the books, they're expressing themselves. So you're all expressing yourself very, very nicely. And I just came here to learn from you about all the different scriptures that you've been reading. So I want to thank you very much. Okay. We have one session. So one and two. Go ahead.
Yes, and I had some problems. I had this scripture release some problems. I'm not sure if I
could.
Some problems.
In one shot?
Maybe not.
So late. I was already here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya's books, Madhurila, Chapter 7, Chapter 7, so then I've been brought up with Krishna Das Dugra, Krishna Das Dugra, and since then, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visiting.
Can you speak a little less?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Is it South India? There are many people live his association has become devotees. But that time there was different philosophies, Buddhist philosophies and Mayavadist philosophies. They were like crocodiles here crocodiles, but their people is elephant. Just like the elephant, but the attack is crocodiles. So Vishnu was going there and saved Vishnu.
Very good. So I think you did really good.
Yeah.
Your English is very, very clear. You know what? I personally read Prabhupada's books in English. I was not speaking English. Because I looked at the pictures and eventually I read the book. By the association of devotees, this is how I learned to speak English. My English came from Prabhupada's books. Okay, one to give it is also. I think you may want to stand up. Watch it for the group though.
So, I studied the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, observing the armies on the battlefield. And it's amazing, it's just in the first verse, Dhritarashtra is already doubtful about his sons because he knows what is Dharma, he knows what the Kurukshetra is, that it's Dharma Kshetra, it's a place of pilgrimage. And he's asking, what did they do? I mean, everything is set up just to fight, and he's asking, what did they do? So his doubt actually revealed that they are going to lose, and there are more sons that they are going to lose than them. The Kurus will lose the battlefield, and the Pandavas, they will gain the victory, and they will get to gain the kingdom again. Like Duryodhana is, he also says that there are so many other heroes on my side, and they are prepared to lay down for my sake. So this again, he's prophesizing his own defeat. He says everyone will just die, you know. And then also Sanjaya, somehow or other, he got the vision, is a vision of the future. He was mentioning the heroes who blew their conch shells. And those names of the conch shells which are mentioned in the 15th till 18th verse, actually those heroes, they survived. And those are the five Pandavas. And there is also this Satyaki, he was undefeatable, so they couldn't defeat him, so he survived also. But all others just died.
Very good. Please. So, over there? No, please don't fight among yourself about this.
In Bhagavad Gita, at this place we finished Bhagavad Gita, so the best thing is to start again from the start. My first realization is every time we read Prabhupada's books with attention.
Oh, I have started now. What did you read?
I started from the start, preface.
Okay, so maybe tell us about what you read, not your realization.
Right.
Repeat what you read.
Straight out of the book?
Yeah. Out of the book or out of your own memory? Or you can look at the book, quote from the book?
Well, just a few of the points that I remember.
Very good.
First of all, in the preface, Prabhupada says how if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we must seek help from someone from the Krishna conscious movement. And how bold this statement is from Prabhupada. Then he goes on to mention things like Krishna is God straight away. And he's saying numbers like 8 billion, 600 million years Krishna appears, you know, which is like far out stuff. And then he also says after that, how you must be a devotee in order to understand the Bhagavad Gita. You have to be a devotee. And he also says that even the demigods can't understand Krishna, so that, and they're much higher than human beings, so you must become devotees in order to understand Krishna.
It's fantastic. Thank you very much. I applaud you in my heart. Okay, someone in this? Go ahead.
There is the Bhagavad first canto, it's a chapter number 5 entitled with Nara's instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is Vyasadeva is feeling, he's asking the Nara Muni, it's the teachings of Nara Muni, he's asking Nara Muni what is the root cause of my dissatisfaction now. And after a short glorification, he starts the serial of verses. These two verses are actually explaining the differences between the teachings which are teaching the glories of the Lord and not those teachings which are describing the glories of the Lord are affected in the saintly persons, and those teachings which are not speaking about the Lord are in like a place of purity, which is proper, is giving very nice. Work on something connected to the food distribution, the actually the mood and actually the emergency. He's expressing the emergency. When there is a fire in the house, the inmates of the house go out to help from the neighbors who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the meaning, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transformation message of Srimad Bhagavatam, proudly delivered to the most of the world.
Thank you very much. Very good folks. These are good folks. Very good folks. Okay, we'll... Somebody there? Volunteer?
Vasudev. Go ahead, Vasudev.
Alright, so I opened the book at the verse 2 of the Nectar of Instruction, one of my favorites. But again, I read the purport and it holds over once again. I think I know it by heart almost, and I hear new and novel statements. Here, Prabhupada talks about the three different main energies of Krishna, Antaranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, and Bahiranga Shakti, and how the Tatastha Shakti Jiva soul is either controlled by one or by the other. And in any case, he is controlled by his nature of being either a servant, an eternal servant of the Antaranga Shakti, or a worker, a slave to the external energy. study.
Thank you very much. Okay, one of the lady, go ahead.
This is Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, verses 54 and 55. And speaking about the Brahma Buddha platform, and Srila Prabhupada explaining how the boat is actually already at the Brahma Buddha platform, automatically reaches. This platform is the goal of the impersonalist, but for the boat it's only the first step. Because after liberation, which is the Brahma Buddha platform, a devotee aspires to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And the Prabhupada to verse 55, I found a very nice sentence of Srila Prabhupada about what is actual liberation. Actual liberation is getting free from misconception. So our misconception that we are this body, we can enjoy the material world. Actually, liberation is understanding a constitutional identity as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God and His servant.
Fantastic. Okay, so we'll stop here. And maybe to help Balaram's urges, we can applaud everybody. Thank you. So what happens just now? So anybody has any, just explain how you felt about this exercise. Anybody, just any kind of comments? Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought this was really fantastic. I love this exercise. Have everyone sitting in a room together intensely studying Prabhupada books. That was a very wonderful experience. And it makes me want to do that more, to sit with devotees and do more with them, and to read more. And also to know we had to maybe present something that made it also more intense. Like, okay, what am I reading? When it made me more aware, more focused, more conscious.
Thank you. Very good. You made the point. See, because now you had to present it. So when you are reading, I better be attentive when I'm reading, because I'm about to tell that to a whole classroom full of people. So that's what the exercise is actually did. You want to say something?
Yeah, I said that this experience for me was completely ecstatic, because I heard that the devotees were actually speaking from the heart. And this is what meant giving such a juice in the presentation.
About this. This is very nice. Which language do you translate?
From English to French.
Okay, the Pali français. Okay, so go. So, yes, go ahead.
My realization from all the
from here, listening to others?
Eh?
From listening to others?
Yes. What's the importance of listening?
Okay.
And how the connection with the distribution? The importance of listening, because I saw that when you listen very carefully, the holy name in the morning, and carefully what you read, means listening also when you read, you listen to the knowledge. And even sometimes when I am in Nagita, I saw that in the middle of everything, I get this idea to sing the holy name, yeah, or some song, like that song. And if I sing very nicely and listen very carefully, immediately I change the level of consciousness and better I can preach.
Very, very good. Thank you. There's one thing I'd like to say regarding regarding people when they speak from their realization. It says in the this we sing every day, you know, Divya Gyan Ride Prakashito. That means divine knowledge is transferred through the heart. It's not a head thing, it's not a senses thing. It's a knowledge that is transferred from heart to heart. So that's the potency that we experienced, that even though it was very short, so it created this effect that actually we became eager to hear from each other more and more. I was increasing in my eagerness personally. You know, we've got two ears and one mouth, so we should hear more than we speak. So, you know, when there is one person speaking, there is 30 of us listening, so this is another point. All right, so thank you very much, and I hope you like exercise, and you can practice this in your temple. Just imagine you go to a restaurant and everybody does that. It would be interesting. Thank you, Prabhu, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Veda Vyas Prabhu.
So just to facilitate this, if you could just give the books right now, those you took, and we'll take them right away so that we won't get lost. And Nadina Niranda Prabhu will not be in anxiety. Okay.
Unless you want to buy them.
Oh yes. Actually, it's set. Okay, thank you. And you have your key?
That's it.
I could just be in the back and play on my.
All right, was this exercise helpful for you?
Yes.
Okay. I very much liked the point Veda Vyas Prabhu made at the end. You got 2 ears and you got 1 mouth. That means you should listen twice as much as you speak. Now, I know that's very difficult, especially for myself, because I love to hear myself talk. I guess that's why I'm up here, that's why you're sitting there. But I can dovetail my propensity in the Sankirtan mission by speaking about Prabhupada's books, by preaching, by distributing books. Now, we will wind up some of the topics we discussed today. Talking means sharing, but listening means caring. If you listen to others, you actually show them that you care for them. So, just to talk yourself, it means you share something. You got realization, that's wonderful. But a lot of times, we distribute many books not by talking a lot. Because otherwise you get very tired. An expert book distributor doesn't talk that much. Actually, the art is you let the people do the talking. And you just guide the conversation by asking the right type of questions. So we'll come to that tomorrow. What I sensed in this exercise was a deep appreciation and a profound love for Srila Prabhupada's books. That was very convincing to me. Because each and every devotee felt very full, very convinced, very enriched, very enlivened by reading Prabhupada's books. This is the foundation of our Krishna consciousness. This is the foundation of our preaching. This is why we go out and distribute books. When you see a building come up, for the first couple of weeks, you see nothing come up. First you have to dig, and then you have to put in the foundation. And if there's no foundation, the whole thing will just collapse. In the same way in our own Krishna consciousness, if you don't take the time to build the foundation strong, properly, everything will crumble. If there's a little bit of earthquake, a little bit of shaking, everything will calm down. So, by daily studying Prabhupada's books, we're building our foundation so that our building of Krishna consciousness will become very strong. So, people can sense that. When they meet you on the street, they feel your profound love and appreciation for these books. And that enthusiasm, that conviction, that carries over to the person. Because you feel very strongly for these books. The people, they may have no understanding, they may have no interest, no perception of what's going on. But the only thing they can realize is that this person is very convinced about what they're doing. And where is this conviction coming from? It's coming from these books. And this person is very special, is very different. Why is it very special, very different? Because of these books. Never, we should never think, oh, I'm very special. And make people attracted to ourselves. Because that will fade in an instant. We have seen in preaching and in book distribution, if we only make the people attracted to ourselves and to our qualities, they can drop it in a second. But if they become attracted to Prabhupada's books, and to the principles of Krishna consciousness, they will stick with it for good. May come so many obstructions, so many obstacles, but they will stick with it. So we have to feel very strongly for these books. To distribute Prabhupada's books is all about transferring feelings. It's all about emotions. Because people are looking for emotions. They're looking for rasa. We're all here in this material world because we're looking for enjoyment. We're missing rasa. That is why we're here. But we're looking in all the wrong places. But if people see that the book distributor is experiencing this rasa, this taste, in their own studies, in their own service, in their own exchange with the person they're having, they can see, oh, there is some rasa. This person is having a good time. It takes one look at the face, and they're like, oh, no, this person, no, I don't want to deal with you, you know? Have you ever had that experience, even with devotees? Sometimes you're doing something and somebody comes up to you and you're like, oh no, I don't want to talk to you right now. This is wrong mood, you know, wrong topic, wrong consciousness. In the same way, people, they take one look at your face and they say, yes, I like to talk to you. Or no, please not. So that is why, first and foremost, it is our duty to relish Krishna consciousness on a daily basis. Because if people take one look at your face and they say, this person is supposed to be the pinnacle, the culmination of this process. I don't want to end up like this person. I don't want to become like you. So why should I listen to you? Why should I buy your book? Because example speaks louder than precept. You know that saying? That I can't hear you because your activities, I can't hear you speak because your actions, they scream at me. And what is it in English?
Your actions are speaking louder than your words.
Yes, your actions are speaking louder than your words. So our actions, that is what it boils down to. Don't be afraid to show feeling, to show emotion. Sometimes we think, oh no, no, feeling, emotion, it's all maya, it's all bad. But then what are we trying to do? We're trying to develop hankering and crying for Krishna. We're trying to relish rasa for the holy name and for serving and associating the Vaishnavas. I was reading about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and how they were invited by Advaita Acharya to come into their house. And how Advaita Acharya insulted Lord Nityananda, that you're just a rogue mendicant and you can eat more than dozens and dozens of men, and I'm a simple poor householder, so you will just eat everything I've got. And they're insulting each other in a joking way, and it is very relishable. So we're looking for rasa. So don't be afraid of rasa and of emotion and of feeling, because that is the nature of the soul. To feel, to be conscious, to be sentient being. We cannot stop that. But we have to direct it in the proper way. Book distribution satisfies a real need in the prospect. First comes a need, then comes a product. The people are looking for Krishna. They are looking for enlightenment. They are looking for knowledge. And that is why we should give them Prabhupada's books. That need is there. In the material world, through advertising, through marketing, we create an artificial need and we try to then give the product to fulfill that need, that artificial need, which people actually don't have any use for. But in book distribution, we are identifying the real need of the living entity for Krishna and for relationship, for rasa with Krishna. And we're fulfilling that need by giving them the books. What do you sell? I want you all to write down 3 points. What are you selling? What are you distributing? Write down for yourself 3 points. And don't say just Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but what are you selling? If people ask you, what you're selling? What's your product?
Darkness.
And ask yourself, what is it that the person is buying? What are they perceiving that they are buying?
Light.
3 points. What are you selling and what are people buying? You understand?
We sell Krishna consciousness and they buy...
Whatever it is that you feel that you're selling. It's your own personal realization. Write it down, please. And you can do those exercises every now and so often. Because people on the street will ask you, what is it? People have three question marks on their foreheads when they meet you. They want to know three things. What are those three things?
Why?
Who are you? What do you have? What's in it for me?
Exactly. You must have taken a class lately.
You came to know them.
Yes. Number one, who the hell are you? Number two, what's this book? What is it? And number three, what's in it for me? What do I benefit from this? If you're able to answer these three questions in the first 20 seconds, you got yourself a sale. You got yourself a book distributed. Money back guarantee. You have to satisfy these questions before the person even asks those questions. So then what happens? The person will just go, all right. Sometimes you distribute a book, the person doesn't say a word. He doesn't even say how much. He just pulls out the money, hands you the money, and you walk away. Has it ever happened to you?
Yes.
And how do you feel?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, right? That was easy. You see? You didn't get involved on the mental platform. You didn't get into arguments. Oh, I gotta defeat this person, you know? Or back and forth, or how much, or this or that. No. You're so charged up with enthusiasm. You just meet the person, and you say, hey, this is for all the special people today. This is for you. Can you also give some? Yeah, sure, okay. And you walk off. 10 seconds. Boom. That's all it takes. It doesn't take hours and hours of discussion. Another point. Have you finished with your 3 points? What are you selling? And what are people buying? And the two should match, you know, somehow. There should be some relation. Okay, otherwise you can finish up as a homework. This is something private, something internal you can do for yourself. I got a question for you. Who is ISKCON? Prabhupada, ISKCON?
Krishna's love.
Krishna's love. What else is ISKCON? Who is ISKCON?
We.
We means what?
I.
Us. We are ISKCON. I want to know from you. I know what I feel. I want to know from you how you feel about this.
All the members of ISKCON constitute ISKCON.
All the members of ISKCON constitute ISKCON. And for the person on the street, yes. For the person on the street, who is ISKCON?
Me.
You are ISKCON, exactly. I'm ISKCON. I'm ISKCON, I'm Prabhupada, I'm Krishna. For them, you are everything. That just gives you the importance of what are we doing out there. The people, they have no perception, you know, about what else is going on. For them, it's all about you. That gives them great importance to how we present ourselves, to how we deal with the people, what kind of impression we give them, how do we treat them. To thine own self be true. Shakespeare says that we have to be truthful to our own self. Because you can lie to some people sometime, but you can't lie to all the people all the time. So, if you're thinking, I'm just putting a facade, I'm just doing this as a show, as a performance, this is not me. I am something different. But I'm just wearing the hat of a book distributor. That is not very convincing. Because people will see that, oh, this is just a drama. This is just, you're playing this, right? And then you're like, no. Like Prabhupada. Whether you take Prabhupada, translating the books, giving Bhagavatam class, traveling and preaching, taking prasadam, worshipping the deity, taking rest, dealing with management, getting dressed, putting on tilak. It's the same. It's Prabhupada. It's not that it was any different. You understand the point I'm trying to make here? If you're a preacher, if you're a book distributor, it's not a job where you go and you put on some uniform and you behave in a certain way, and then when you're off the job, you do anything different. No. A preacher, a book distributor, is always a preacher, always a book distributor. Because people will watch you. Also, when you stop distributing, sometimes you see Sankirtan devotees, you know, they go to the van and they start camping out and make a whole huge mess, and people go like, whoa, who are these people? Well, these were the guys who, you know, sold those books. They look like gypsies, you know. They look like a bunch of freaks, you know. You have to be exactly. You can't speak all nicely and then you go out on the road and, you know, you kick the dog and you scream at the worker and you do all kind of crazy stuff. It's not convincing. It has to be consistency. Any questions to these topics? Yes, please.
When the Indian person, they are looking at you like you are one monkey,
you are what?
They look at you like you are one monkey. And that is my attitude, what, because I am woman also, my attitude, what wants to be my attitude, okay? O sea, sometimes I feel like very, o sea, I don't like, they are males, basically, looking at you like,
yes.
Oregon.
Can you put it in the car park?
Eh?
Can you put it in the car park? It's a big topic. We'll deal with it, okay? How to deal with challenging situations, people who are challenging and who are obstructing you. Can you write it down, please? Baba Sindhu? Thank you.
Do you address the people with we are doing this and that, or I am doing this and that?
Always we. Did you hear his question? Can you repeat? Very important point. Can you repeat, please?
I just asked him, what is your experience? Is it better to say, we are looking for nice people today, or I'm looking for nice people?
I don't understand.
The question is, do you say, we are looking for nice people, or I am looking for nice people? My personal experience is, I always say we. I say, we today here distributing so many books. Why we? Because if it's I, if it's only me personally, who am I? And sometimes people say, well, who the hell are you? You know? They're not very impressed. But if you say we, they don't know what we stands for. But we means many. And we know there is the whole Guru Parampara. It goes all the way back to, you know? There's your Guru, there's Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, etc., etc., all the way back to Krishna. So that's we. So we are many. And you are just this one person. So we are distributing to you. You understand? He puts the whole thing in a different perspective, doesn't it? The table have turned. So, but sometimes you can also say, I, you know. But people like it when you take the humble position. People like it when you make some joke at your own expense. And not always at the expense of others. Because everybody nowadays is proud, everybody is so-called confident. But if you have the ability to take a little bit the humble position, people will appreciate that. But when we're speaking on behalf of Krishna consciousness, on behalf of Prabhupada, we should say we. Because this is not our own personal agenda. This is not our own little personal business we're doing here. And in this way, people will be able to differentiate. Yes, please.
Regarding emotions, you said that we shouldn't stop our emotions, but we should redirect them.
You can't stop your emotions. Even right now, you're feeling choked up and you cannot express yourself. You can't stop feeling. You can't stop having emotions. You have to have emotions. We are sentient beings. It's the nature of the soul. But we have to redirect those emotions towards Krishna. That is the whole process of Bhakti Yoga. Connecting our desires and our emotions and our feelings to Krishna. Everything else doesn't work. To become zero doesn't work. Okay? Alright. So before we'll have the final conclusion of today's four lessons, I'd like to draw your attention on page 29 of your student handbooks. It's the Principles and Values Assessment Worksheet. This will be your homework till tomorrow. Page 29. Long-term vision till systematic training and education. What we'd like you to do is, in your own time, tonight or tomorrow morning, to go through these and give yourself grades. Now, long-term vision, do I have long-term goals? Do I resist the temptation of short-term results when they conflict with long-term gains? If you feel you're doing very well with this, you don't have a problem, you see the long-term vision, then you give yourself a 9. Because there is always room for improvement. Unless you're very humble or very convinced. And if you feel you're not doing so well, you give yourself a 2. So, you can grade yourself. Just have a little bit of honesty, a little bit of introspection, and fill this out on your own time. And then at the bottom, you can mention specific areas. Where specifically do I feel I need to improve? And point number 2, how will I do this? Is this homework clear? All right. So today we have spoken a lot about the character of a book distributor and what it means to be a proper ISKCON representative. Now, in the third lesson, we touched on concept of lifetime book distributor, on form and substance. So, character development is an intentional, an essential and intrinsic part of our activities as devotees. We want to work on our character. That is first and foremost. We do that by sadhana, by hearing and chanting, by associating the devotees, by serving the other devotees, by our preaching activity. This is all reinforcing our spiritual character. And for the next 3 days, today we spoke mainly about character. The whole day today was foundational. It was about character development. The next 3 days we're going to speak about skills. If you came here to learn the tricks of the trade, the skills, the gift of the gab, what to do when the going gets tough, that will come in the next 3 days. So don't worry, you get enough information. So I hope we didn't bore you today to death with character development, and you think, oh, I've heard this in Bhagavad class before. Now, even though we're going to speak for 3 days about skills, we will always connect them to our principles and values. And we will see whether they're actually aligned with the aims of book distribution and with Srila Prabhupada's 7 purposes of ISKCON. So now, I'd like to play this video of Bhakti Tirtha Swami, whose Vyasa Puja was just a couple of days ago. And he will give the final talk.
I am extremely honored to be voice at the BBT in Europe. As if I could give some basic words of encouragement in relationship to Srila Prabhupada's books. Because we know Prabhupada's books are the nucleus and the honoring of our society. In scripture, we have what is called the Parivasa Sutra. That is the verse that helps us to understand, you know, the entire text. The seed is like the seed that all other things of a particular text are to come with and to be in accord with. So, if we think about it, in terms of institution, Prabhupada's books are the Parivasa for our institution. That our whole lives are going to be so much centered around his books. I'm in an unusual situation now. Of course, I'm handicapped, terminally ill with cancer. He's according to the doctors are saying. I had 1.5 leg, my leg has been amputated, and lost, you know, almost 40 pounds. And I'm just hoping most of that weight that's been lost is false ego that's going away. Anyway, my mom was, it's a serious note. I'm not taking out of having a chance to be with you. So it's so much my desire, Krishna is fulfilling that for a few minutes just to be able to share some points here. Well, Bhavananda and a few other devotees report how Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that we didn't want to come here. And obviously, who of a higher nature want to come to this horrible place, you know, Marcha Loka, so much degradation and lust and greed. But Prabhupada said how Krishna had encouraged him, you go, and you write books, and I will help you. So, it's very significant that we constantly keep in mind that Prabhupada coming to this world with so much interconnection with his commission in providing transcendental literatures. It seems so important that we remind ourselves how Prabhupada was up in the middle of the night and how he struggled so much to see that these books would be able to be available for the world, and how he read his own books. So he read his own books. How much more important it is for us to read them in a scrutinizing way, as he was such a puppet for the previous acharyas. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how such great pure devotees, when they're writing, it's in the spirit of sitting down and Krishna is actually speaking through them. Practically, the majority of us, we came to this movement due to having contact with one of Prabhupada's books. And we came another way. We became situated and convinced to remain in the society after reading the Prabhupada's book. And somebody of ourselves as leaders, we think about it, we're leaders because we're involved in printing the books, sharing the books, selling the books. And in many cases from the past, and for some of us, or some of you, we're still expertly doing that now. Printing Prabhupada's books in so many different languages. I was reading all kinds of literature, and took initiation from all kinds of gurus. And then I read the Sri Isha Upanishad, and I was finished. Because from reading that, it gave more clarity in all the books, you know, that I had read. And it helped me clarify karma and moksha and anatta and dharma, and most important, it helped me to understand what in fact was Sanatana Dharma that was missing in the other books I read and the other teachers that I take shelter. Let me just try to conclude one or two short points. This is how Prabhupada came into this world to make books available to us. We see that in his last days, and even last hours, how much he was trying to make sure that the transcendental message was received. How he died on the battlefield. So from Prabhupada's entry to this universe and his departure, we see the importance of his books. So we want to go out of our way constantly for the extra mile to honor Srila Prabhupada. And how do we do it? We read the books, we distribute the books, we print the books, we worship the books. But most important is that, as Prabhupada said himself about Jivananda prophecy in relationship to Gandhi, that the best way to honor a person is not by monuments, not by horrific kind of glorifications, but by creating a community that represents the ideas that person stood for. So let us work our help and try to see more how we can create communities that will represent the ideas that Prabhupada has given us in his books. We don't want to abuse the books by hitting each other over the head with things taken out of the books. Sometimes we take things out of context, or we use the philosophy just to beat someone and to try to force them in some way based on our ulterior motive. But we want to worship the books by creating a community that represents what Prabhupada wrote in his books. That means by going deeper and appreciating the essence of the books, living it, and then we can share it as a wonderful, powerful international community. Hare Krishna, thank you for allowing me to be with you. And I'm excited, hoping that we'll all be able to be together more, especially as we keep this Parivasa forefront. Prabhupada's book is the outer, is a major seed for our existence. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki
jai,
Srila Prabhupada Chancellor Bhakti Sivushan ki
jai,
Gaur Pramanandi. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. You worked overtime today, so we're going to break 5 minutes early. I hope you don't mind.
We can leave.
You can leave everything here, but you need to take your